All right, well, that Aaron Rodgers is a little scary. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I don't know if the Patriots are just bad, unprepared a little bit last night, Pearl, but Aaron Rodgers looked vintage. This looked even better than his last season in Green Bay. This looked more like the guy who's just finding everybody, elevating the play of the entire offense. The final score over the Patriots was 24-3. It was seemed like way more of a blowout than that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for E.J. Stewart. I feel bad for all the Jets fans that we work with.
You feel bad? Why?
Yeah, I feel bad because the football gods have decided the script will be that Aaron Rodgers looks like he's 29 years old. The defense looks nasty. Everything is perfect. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL. So the heartbreak's going to be even worse this year when they Jets it up.
Oh, come on.
Because come on. Everything is, I mean, you look
today
on paper.
Today of all days you're going to do that?
You look on paper like there is no reason this team doesn't win 13 games because they play Denver next week, who's the second worst team or second or third worst team in the league. They're going to be 3-1. There's just nothing missing on paper. So that's why I'm almost saying that as a compliment. There's so much reason to be optimistic knowing the Jets' history. That'll make it hurt even worse if they lose this because they have such an opportunity here.
Okay, but if Rodgers is going to play like this, I'm not trying to fast forward too much, but if this is the way we're going to take it, who's to say this is the last season? You know, like Rodgers last night was not only looking good in terms of the arm, distributing the ball, finding his guys, I guess except for Garrett Wilson, maybe there's a little more to be developed in terms of the chemistry between those two guys. But, I mean, he had everything working last night. He's hitting the tight ends. The run game was going downhill. You know, he's spreading things out to the receivers, the tight ends, all that. The offensive line might be a bit of an issue, but Rodgers was able to escape. He was able to run for first downs last night. And it was funny, at one point in the broadcast, Kirk Herbstreit says, "I'm no longer holding my breath every time Rodgers takes off or every time he gets hit or goes down." I don't know if I'm there with him on that, but he certainly looks a lot more mobile, a lot more spry. And you do kind of forget at some point during the game, you're watching a 40-year-old coming off an Achilles, right?
Absolutely. But about the next year, like they have to be, this is an all-in year because the AFC is really falling apart around them. The Chiefs can't move the ball offensively. The Ravens and the Bengals are both 0-2. Like, the Jets have a great opportunity this year. I think it feels like, I agree with you, Rodgers looks like he can play five more years if he wants. He looked more mobile than he has in, you know, way more mobile than the last time we saw him with the Packers. So this is it, though. It feels like everything is lining up Jets. And to be totally honest, I was half kidding, but I feel like the Jets are excited but nervous because this feels like a totally new Jets team, right? Like, when's the last time like we felt this way about the Jets?
It's been a while. It's been a long time, and honestly, you've probably never felt this way about a Jets quarterback since Joe Namath, and you and I were not alive for that. So.
Wow. Peak Chad Pennington, it was pretty good.
But, my guy.
Yeah, sure.
EJ, you got me with peak Chad Pennington.
Love Chad Pennington. Okay. My all-time favorite Jet.
Ball never hit the ground when Chad was out there.
Yeah, let's see. Let's give Rodgers, we might have a new all-time favorite Jet. But this is a franchise that's been so snake-bitten. This is the opposite of the team that they were playing last night, who enjoyed 20 years of Tom Brady, who was like the guy who instilled more fear into the opposition when he had the ball and needed a touchdown or needed needed a win. And now the Jets have that guy. Now, it's weird that you would immediately go to, oh, the Jets should be like preemptively nervous.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That thought was in my head. Why can't they just enjoy it?
because of NFL history, Maggie.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing, too, it just looks so good. It almost looked comically good. I'm like, because he was rolling out to the left, rolling out to the right, and it was a work of art to see Aaron Rodgers play quarterback. That's why.
They were literally chanting his name last night in the third quarter. Here's Rodgers on getting the love from the crowd.
All those chants are really meaningful. I was kind of hoping for a stop there to be able to take a final knee on the field, but special night.
Yeah.
That's being a little selfish, Aaron. But okay.
Listen, he wants this to go as storybook as anybody. I mean, Rodgers is like basically manifesting all of this maybe, but this is a little scarier than I thought it was going to look. There was that one first drive, or maybe it was actually the third drive of the game, technically, against San Francisco. And it was like, oh boy, the Jets are going to be a problem. And then San Francisco turned it up.
Yeah.
And the Jets actually couldn't stop Jordan Mason, couldn't stop the run. It was like, well, all right, maybe this is going to be like more a little bit here, a little bit there. Last night, it was super consistent. Now, listen, you got to have the Patriots being not good last night to also help this out.
No, like, we don't want to get caught up in the moment here. It's hard because it's a primetime game. Next week, they should destroy the Broncos. Then they got a couple real tests. The Vikings, and it seems like
in London, by the way.
That's in London. It seems like a showdown for the AFC East. So I know this makes you nervous, but it really feels like a two-team race. So the Bills-Jets games are going to be battles because the Jets always play the Bills, right? I know
they do.
Sitting next to you. So that is really interesting. I think you could start, oh God, this is terrible, but you could start thinking about playoffs and like where this can go. There's no reason. There's nothing. Not just Rodgers. How about that receiving core? How about the chemistry with Garrett Wilson? Lazard, the much maligned Alan Lazard, feels like a natural fit now with Rodgers. And Mike Williams, gosh, where was that Mike Williams? He looked great. So I feel like everything's clicking offensively, and we know the defense is good, right? The defense was never a concern.
Yeah, I mean, and they don't even have the full complement of guys, you know?
Yeah.
Jermaine Johnson's out of Achilles, Hassan Reddick's in the witness protection program. So they're doing it, and the back end of that defense is also very good. So there was a moment, you want to start talking about playoffs. Yeah, I mean, they're built for the playoffs. You know, they're built. This is the kind of team you want now because they can run the ball and because the defense is so good.
Yeah, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been a disappointment in the playoffs the last several years.
It's true. Has he ever had this much?
Oh, my God.
Well, he's had talent in terms of Devontae Adams and stuff like that.
I think he was the number one seed twice and lost his first playoff game. Like,
listen, I have them as the number one seed this year. I had him winning 14 games.
That still won't guarantee you anything with Rodgers. Remember, they were heavy favorites a couple times and blew it.
So the Rodgers part of this is one side of the story. Another small part, and I really disagreed with this. It's going to be a footnote in this game, but it's going to be something to track for the rest of the season. I know the rookie QBs have not been that impressive. Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels with his legs has been a little impressive, but so far they have not really been the gangbusters group, you know, to hit the ground running in a way maybe we thought they were going to be. Drake May did get into the game last night, and I forgive you if you turned it off at that point. There's about 4 minutes left to go in the game. Jacoby Brissett, the starter for New England, had been getting abused all night. I thought he was leaving there in a cart. I don't understand why they decided to put Drake May in this game because there was no shot that the Jets were going to call off the dogs. The Jets have been waiting for the scales to tilt in their favor against New England for 20 years. So I was a little surprised that Drake May would get in at this point.
Well, the Jets did sack him, but it was more of a gentle sack. It wasn't really.
It felt like that to him.
But by the way, you say Jacoby Brissett was a sitting duck. Dude, you've been in the league 8 years. Like, you can't feel any pressure. You have no clue that there's a guy running at you from 3 feet away. He looked terrible last night.
He did.
Not only did he not, first of all, he missed a big wide open pass early in the game. He had no sense of what was coming, and his drops were incredibly slow. Like, I don't know if it was a coaching staff or him that didn't realize, hey, dude, five guys are blitzing because they're not as scared that you're going to throw the ball long at all. And then if they had actually tried to throw the ball long, they had one-on-one coverage everywhere because everybody was blitzing to make up for the fact that they didn't have any defensive ends. Brissett looked terrible last night.
Brissett looked terrible in the preseason, which kicked open the door to Drake May might possibly win the starting job. Remember that whole back and forth? He's the best quarterback on the roster now, and then all of a sudden he wasn't going to start, and it was a whole back and forth that we talked about for a week.
Is Zappi? No, Zappi's not on the roster anymore. I would go, if you don't want to put Drake May out there because you're afraid he's going to get hurt with the backup lineman in front of him, then find somebody else, because that was bad for that kind of team where you need a mobile guy or something. Right, not an old stiff like Jacoby Brissett. He just looked terrible.
So here is Jerod Mayo on the decision to put Drake May in at the end of the game.
I just thought it was a good opportunity for him to go out there with the ones and put a few drives together. He moved the ball. We'll watch the film and evaluate.
Yeah, he was also non-committal on whether or not they're going to make a quarterback change after this week.
I don't know. Look, we talk about every single week, you know, you're competing for a job, so we'll get together as a coaching staff and see where it goes.
Could have been worse. You know what? This is good. Jerod Mayo has learned from the past mistakes. Just be non-committal. You know? He's, unfortunately, a few times been a little too committal and then had to backtrack on stuff. So.
Well, it doesn't matter what he says. Look at that team he's got in front of him. Like, what are you supposed to do? He could be the most brilliant orator since Abraham Lincoln. Like, when you're best defensive player, or one of your best defensive players is gone, and you are starting who knows who on offense, like, doesn't matter. This guy is at a tough spot. As you predicted, you're like, oh, man, I don't want to follow Belichick. B, do not want to have this team.
Yeah, this is tough. I also want to know two very important things. One, can I start betting against the Patriots consistently? Because the first 2 weeks kind of threw me off a little bit because they win in Cincinnati, and that was shocking. Knocked me out of my survivor pool. And then the second is Seattle. I know Seattle was coming east, body clock game, the whole deal, but they didn't take them to overtime. They probably should have won that game. So I was like, can I really start consistently betting against the Patriots? Now I feel a little bit better.
Well, you know, there's a group of people in Vegas who know what's going on with the Patriots as well. I assume
the people set the lines and the spreads.
Yeah, I'd bet against a... Yeah, I think they're aware. I'm going to try and find the line for next week against the Niners. But by the way, would you start May? Because I would 1,000% start May.
Against the San Francisco 49ers? No shot.
Why the 40? Do you mean the 49ers defense is as tepid as anything? Like they're not doing anything.
I would be a little concerned about that.
I think
I don't need Fred Warner on my face.
Well, Warner's in the next level. They're not rushing the passer at all in San Francisco.
No, but Drake May can take off. That's the thing. I don't want him totally inexperienced thinking, oh, look at all this green grass.
I think that's
hey. And then all of a sudden Fred Warner's like, kapow.
I think that's a really good start because San Francisco has been hanging back a lot on defense. They're not coming after the quarterback.
Against the Pats because the Jets never blitz. And they saw this is all Robert Saleh scheme, and never blitz. And they saw the adjustment that needed to get made. And they were in Jacoby Brissett's lap all night.
Yeah, you got to go Drake May. There's just it's over. He'll be fine. I'm telling you, the list of defenses he faces, the Niners are not on the scary side anymore. If you block Nick Bosa, there is nobody who's going to sniff you on that defense. This is good. Also, they're all hurt. This is fine. Drake May is ready to go.
This is fine. Did you get the spread?
No, I can't find next week's spread. I bet you it's going to be, no one knows what's going to happen with the Niners because none of their players are healthy.
Yeah.
But I would assume it'd be 9.5.
855-212-4227. How impressed were you with the Jets? Or was this a little more the Patriots kind of not... I would say they didn't show up. They really didn't have the ball very often. And this was the Aaron Rodgers show last night. 100%. 855-212-4227. All right, we've got to get to another one of the biggest stories that we have in sports. What's Shohei Ohtani did yesterday?
Yes. Niners -9.5. I had it exactly right.
Look at you, handicapper.
Yeah, but the Niners, that's another team we do not know. But the Patriots, here's another question. The Patriots win another game. I think that's what we're talking about.
Well, that's on the table,
maybe
too.
Maybe
one or two. We got to get to Shohei. Record-breaking moment last night where he becomes the one and only member of the 50-50 club. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Again, 855-212-4227. All right, listen up, sports fans. This one's important. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be an unfortunate side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game and it's yours to win. Now, here is the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and Real Fit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com.
Now that I hear it, oh my God, that is maybe a bit of an overstatement, but I understand why Joe Davis was getting caught up it was Joe Davis, right?
Yep.
Getting caught up in the hype because Shohei Ohtani reaches 50-50. Now he's the only member of the 51-51 club.
Yeah.
And does it in dramatic fashion. You have the box score, Maggie.
Yeah, 3 home runs. He goes 6-for-6 on the day, the 10 RBIs and 2 steals. So, 17 total bases, the extra base hits. In every way, it was such an exclamation point. And obviously, Ohtani has a flair for the dramatic here because he entered the 40-40 club with a grand slam for his 40th home run. Now to get to the 50-50 club, it's a 3-homer day. And I think this is it's unbelievable. Like, let's talk about it. It's unreal what Ohtani's doing. This is a dude who's literally rehabbing major elbow surgery and is coming out and setting these kind of records in a year that no one would have blinked an eye if he had said, I can't even play the whole season. Not only that, the Dodgers clinched a postseason berth yesterday for the 12th year in a row. Now, that's not a big deal for the Dodgers or Dodger fans. You guys expect to be there. But Ohtani has played more regular season games than any active player in baseball right now without playing a postseason game. Over 800 games without one playoff game. And now we are guaranteed knock on wood, he doesn't get hurt. But now we are guaranteed that he's going to be in the postseason, which is exactly where he belongs.
Well, yeah. I mean, the second he signed with the Dodgers, we kind of figured he'd make the postseason. To me, also, we talked about this in the break, Maggie. This is further proof that he should just be a hitter because he is unprecedented as a hitter. He's going to go to, he's the greatest hitter of this era. He's Barry Bonds of this era. So do you really need him starting once every five games? And you might win that game. You might not win that game. The bullpen could blow it. Why risk the health issue by pitching when you can have the best hitter in the world?
Okay. Well, why have the Dodgers fallen short in the World Series outside of 2020, which Fugazi anyway?
I mean, you're going to say starting pitching?
It's because the pitching hasn't been there, whether it's the starters, whether it's the bullpen, whether it's closers, whatever it was. And any Dodger fan will tell you, this is great for Ohtani to get these individual accolades. But if you want to win World Series, they may need him to be available to pitch.
Does he really make that big of an impact on pitch staff? Also, too, I think their bats have gone cold in the postseason, too.
You need pitching. And that is one thing where the Dodgers, for all the money they spend and all the future Hall of Famers they have and all of that, the pitching has been the thing. Maybe a little managing, too, a little bats. But the pitching has been the thing.
And you think Ohtani's going to start two games like Roy Halladay style? And just, that's not going to happen. You guys didn't pitch in 2 years.
I watched him strike out Mike Trout for the final out in the World Baseball Classic. It was one of the great non-MLB moments in baseball history. And they are going to need that. Watch what happens to the Dodgers this year. Let's watch. I mean, the Dodgers are great. But let's see what happens. And if the pitching ends up rearing its ugly head, because they don't have enough pitching right now to win a World Series. And so,
well, I mean, the only key, I was actually looking at the metrics. The only key to winning the National League pennant is to have between 85 and 90 wins. And the Dodgers actually not having 100 wins gives them a chance now. Because that's the only teams that ever get out of the NL are the 85 win teams.
Listen, they built a super team.
Don't apply logic to the MLB postseason because it'll bite you in the butt.
Listen, it's not for lack of trying. Like, I'm not killing the organization. They tried.
Yeah.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto, they've tried. Yeah. Glasnow, it's not for lack of trying. But this has been the thing where they can't keep the pitching staff healthy. And I think that's going to happen again. And so they need Ohtani.
This could be the year. They're mixing up the formula because they don't have 108 wins.
Well, they've got 91, and we still have some games to play.
I like what I'm seeing here. They're coming in hungry. Now, listen, the other thing, too, is like this lineup is crazy, too.
Yeah.
It's not just Ohtani. So we'll see with the Dodgers. I can't wait to watch him in postseason. This is the story of baseball, right?
Like, no doubt.
If he could do anything like this, it is going to be spectacular. But greatest day in baseball history, that's just ridiculous.
Can we put the poll out? Is this the greatest day in baseball history?
I mean, that's going to be 99% no. Who would say that was the greatest day in baseball history?
That's what I think you have. There were three that came to mind last night. We were kind of talking about this a little over text. Three that came to my mind without even looking it up. And it was Hank Aaron passing Babe Ruth as a great moment in baseball history.
Yeah.
It was Reggie Jackson's three home runs, Game 6 of the World Series. And it was Roger Clemens striking out 20 batters in 1986. Now, guys have gone on and done that since, but still, like, to me, those were three just off the top of my head. I was like, were these three better days than Ohtani? But maybe not.
I would say consensus is the Giants win the pennant is the most famous baseball game of all time. I mean, there's movies about that day. And also just everything that was happening that day was a big deal. So I'm not sure. I think you need postseason. That's my only knock on this game is it's a regular season.
Andrew Bogish back today feeling better. Is this the greatest day in baseball history?
Oh, hey, good morning. It's not, but it might be the second. And by day, I mean like a day a player has had.
Right.
Not the greatest like Tuesday day for baseball, but the greatest day a person has had. The only thing that to me definitely beats it is Reggie Jackson's three-homer World Series game. It's in the World Series. It's a three-homer game, so it's a rarity. But like the other things are either just not as good as what Ohtani did yesterday or they're singular moments, which is to me not the same thing as him making history in historical fashion.
Right.
Because no one before has had the combination of hits, homers, RBI, and stolen base that he had in the game yesterday while getting in both categories to 50-50.
So I think the one thing about this that doesn't sit like perfectly right now with baseball fans or sports fans, it's not the homers. The homers will always be impressive, right? Like we can't help it. We love home runs, and they're amazing. It's the steals. And listen, baseball has made changes year after year after year, and we have not denigrated guys for playing under new rules. Like when the designated hitter came in, did we all of a sudden start saying like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, this is Fugazi if you're only hitting? Well, maybe for Edgar Martinez, took him a little longer to get in the Hall of Fame, but you know what I'm talking about. So they changed the rules that there's only two pickoff attempts per at-bat, and the bases are bigger. They wanted more stolen bases. So, and the fact that Acuna had over 70 stolen bases last year, does it take a little of the shine off the stolen bases? I say no, because Ohtani is still, again, rehabbing elbow. He is being aggressive. Like, I still think that the 50 stolen base, now 51 stolen bases, is super impressive, even though the rules have changed.
I think baseball fans are more savvy than that because they judge numbers in context. Like, home runs don't mean one-tenth of what they used to mean because they know what happened. So, you know, somebody, guy hits 53 homers in 2009, they don't view that as a serious number. Nobody even cares. Like, and even, and we argue about this, like, I feel Aaron Judge's home run record would have been an even bigger deal 20 years ago.
Well, yeah, but they were breaking into college football games on ESPN to watch his at-bats. It's not like it went totally under the radar.
But it would have been even bigger if it had been before the steroid era. So baseball fans know numbers.
Well, but before the steroid era, he would have been the first one to do it. So it would have been, that would have been huge. That's not a fair...
So you don't think home runs are viewed differently?
No, they're viewed differently, but I'm saying, but if he had done it in 1991, people would have been freaking out because no one would have... He would be the first attacking Maris.
Right, but I think that there's definitely... There's always just like nobody will ever view home run numbers the same way we did when we were kids.
Well, I think... But you have to, I think, readjust. Like, if someone was about to hit 70, we'd be freaking out.
I don't think so. I think people would be nervous too. They'd be like, I'm not going to. I mean, maybe if you weren't there for Maguire Sosa, I don't think anyone's going to be bitten twice by a 70 home run season.
But Maggie just took, we just lived this. When he just did it, people were getting mad at ESPN for dropping college football to show Judge at bats. Like, people cared.
I also think there is something now where I think a lot of fans, right, wrong, I know guys get pop for PEDs, but I think we kind of believe with the testing they're doing a good a job as they can to try to catch guys. You know, back when Bonds is doing this and his head is growing by the day and all of that, even in the time we didn't know it, but we could be more skeptical. I don't think people are skeptical now of Aaron Judge.
Well, I don't want to speak out of turn, but you are more cynical and skeptical than me and Maggie are about this stuff.
About what's going on now, about baseball in this day and age.
I'm going to go to the poll machine on the X and get some help here because I feel like it's me against the group once again. People are skeptical of home runs, I believe. Are you skeptical of home run totals? I'll say that, yes or no.
I'll join you, Pearl. I agree with that.
Everybody agrees. Who would not be skeptical of home run numbers? Ryan, are you not skeptical of home
runs? Home runs are home runs.
But
yeah, you're young.
Guys...
You missed the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's just that it doesn't just like lower the meaning of them.
I totally believe it 100% lowers the meaning of them.
No way.
Well, there's a lot of people who consider Hank Aaron the true home run king.
Yeah, I think it's also the way the game is played, exit velocity,
balls are juiced.
Balls are juiced, fences have moved in, and like guys are only like strikeout or home run. I just feel like there's a lot of reasons they don't mean the same. When I was a kid, I would get a baseball card and the guy had 20 homers. I'm like, ooh, I'm holding on to this. This is like a big deal. I mean, the numbers they just changed at a certain point.
Yeah, and I don't like...
Kind of like touchdowns in football, like passing touchdowns. Like,
yeah, it's not like we're not skeptical, but people didn't ignore Aaron Judge's home run. I think like neither one of us is wrong here.
I feel like it would have been bigger when we were younger.
I think it would have been bigger too if he was going for Bonds' record. I think like going to Roger Maris, where it's like, okay, we got to do a mental gymnastics. This is the American League record. Yeah. I think for some folks, I think that was also a factor, being like, I don't need to. Why are you breaking in for this? This isn't really a record. The record is 73. That's the record people know, and that's the one that people either acknowledge or don't acknowledge.
Here's a question. If Shohei never pitches again, like Perloff wants, does he break the 73?
No chance. No chance. I don't know if 73 is possible without using whatever Barry Bonds, the Balco cocktail he was using. I'm serious.
Right. I mean, because this is the other part of it too, EJ. Like, there is also the fact that home runs are not ludicrous. Like, yes, there are guys who hit, like, the bottom end of the home run hitter is higher. Like, everybody can hit 10 to 15 homers, but Aaron Judge has 53 right now to lead the majors. Now, he's slowed down big time, but that's not an insane number of league-leading homers. And Marcell Ozuna is fifth with 38 home runs. That's not a lot of home runs. So, yes, home runs are different, but it's not as easy as it was for that point in time where ballparks were tiny and guys were huge. Starting to skew in a different way.
Yeah. I'm curious about this because the one thing about Ohtani really has going for him, which is the rest of the lineup is really good. He's got other guys, so it's harder to intentionally walk him. Now, they were intentionally walking Barry Bonds with the bases loaded. It's all right. We'll just sacrifice the run because how much damage Bonds could do. But
also, that stadium probably doesn't lend itself for 73.
Dodger Stadium?
Does it?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure. I don't get deep at certain parts, right?
It's an older park. I mean, it's legit.
I there are 32 50 home run seasons in Major League history, and a large majority have been since the year 1997.
But so, how many have been since like 2010?
Let's see. Well, Judge has had a few.
Right.
Yeah. And then Ohtani just did it. Matt Olson did it. I mean, Matt Olson hit 54 homers in 2023. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not putting Matt Olson in the Mickey Mantle conversation.
You don't have to. Different. No one's asking you to.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, no one has.
I'm just saying, I wasn't like, oh my God, Matt Olson hit 54 homers. That would have been a much bigger deal a previous generation.
Well, and this is another reason why I underscore why Ohtani's got to win World Series. And I know we generally don't hold baseball players to that same standard like we do football players, quarterbacks specifically, and others, basketball players. Have you won? Have you not won? I think Ohtani needs to win because there are people like Perloff who I think look at the numbers and go, meh, meh. And the numbers aren't as sacred in baseball anymore. And we have become more of a have you won, have you not won culture. Yeah. So to me, that's why he's got to come back and pitch. Because it's got to be by any means necessary that you've got to win to basically live up to this. I mean, look at Mike Trout. All time baseball player. No one talks about him. Because he hasn't won. And he hasn't barely played in the postseason.
Well, one number that does impress me, the MVPs for Shohei are going to be, he's going to have a wild run of MVPs because he's probably going to win it again and again and again.
I know, but we talk about MVPs. You and I have this conversation. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, 4 MVPs. You're like, who cares? How many Super Bowls? Like, we do that thing.
Yeah, but he'll win. I mean, Shohei's about to win his third in 4 years. I think that's a pretty, pretty big deal. By the way, there have been 7 50 home run seasons since 2017. A lot of Judge.
how many guys?
Yeah, that's probably better.
Let's see. So, okay, Shohei, Aaron Judge, Matt Olson, Aaron Judge.
So he's
Pete Alonso.
So 4.
Giancarlo Stanton.
5
so
guys.
So 5 guys. That's not a lot.
To be honest, 2017 was kind of the last we heard of Stanton in a real
Stanton
way.
Stanton hit 59. That's a lot.
So was it 4 MVPs and 1 rookie?
Oh, and then Judge at 52 in 2017.
Yeah, but still 5 different players accounting for him.
You got Chris Davis with 53 in 2013.
Yeah, nobody Jose believes that Batista. One.
He's on Adderall.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah.
So I think to your point, people are good now at dismissing guys that don't need our attention, like for whatever outlying reason, like we're good to go. That didn't matter. Like Chris Davis is an afterthought now, but I don't think people are in any way dismissing what Ohtani is doing. If you want to, nitpick the specific numbers, but the combination of skills is something that we've never ever seen before.
I'm not crazy about the stolen bases. I know you kind of poo-poo that. The stolen bases don't mean much to me because of the new rules.
What Maggie said one yesterday. How many does Ellie De La Cruz have?
64.
Yeah. That guy's 6'7".
Yeah.
I mean, that never happened before.
Being tall and fast.
Has there ever been a 6'7 guy who's had 64 stolen bases? I'll guarantee you no.
I don't know how many 6'7 guys could run and play baseball. Usually those guys have like hairy chest and DH.
But Shohei's another exception. Like, why is that guy stealing 50 bases? That never happened
before. It's ridiculous.
But he never would have done that without the new rules.
No, but what did he have before this year?
I hope
30 last year, right?
Yeah.
Be close to it.
Last year's rules were, this isn't the first year of these rules, right? No.
It's the second year.
Yeah, so
He had 20 last year and 26 in 2021.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I told you guys last night. I feel like 50, if you can do 50 now, I feel like in the old days you would have got 25, 20.
But
But and that's to me, like, I wouldn't be going crazy over a 50-25 season. I'd be like, oh, this is a great skill set. Like, clearly he's a great athlete. I wouldn't be throwing a parade for that. So for me, 50-50 is cool, but, like, we know the stolen bases numbers aren't real.
Well, the funny thing, even with Shohei Ohtani, it's the second coolest thing about him. I mean, the fact that he's the first pitcher hitter since Babe Ruth.
I know.
It's like, even, and I was kind of poking fun at Matt Olson and stuff, like, Shohei is the most exciting player anyway. He didn't even need this number. He is the singular force in this game. We talk about him more than any other baseball player, right?
In the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, Pine Needle is waiting for you to call Ohtani a system hitter.
Yeah.
Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got headlines.
By the way, the third most interesting thing about him, because I forgot.
eBay.
Ipe, yeah. It goes one for Maggie Ipe, two the fact that he's the first pitcher hitter in a century, three the 50-50.
No, it's one Ipe, two Ipe, Ipe. Three Ipe. How did he not know that his interpreter and his best friend was racked up millions of dollars in gambling debts? He didn't know. Anyway.
So he's an idiot in the 50-50 club.
That's Maggie's 50-50
club. It's not an IQ test, all right?
Let's stick with baseball for a second. I know you guys had to begin the show with Jets-Patriots. Had to talk about Ohtani here. But the most impressive and important win yesterday in the greater New York area was on a baseball field in Queens.
The 2-0. That's crushed to left field. Alvarez sends a high drive out of here. Second deck home run. Three-run bomb for Alvarez. 7-3 Mets in the fourth.
That's Keith Radd on Mets Radio. The Amazons four homers in a 10-6 decision over the Phillies. First time in franchise history, the Mets have scored 10-plus runs in three straight games, impressing outfielder Brandon Nimmo.
Pretty amazing that the Mets have played over, 10,000 games, and we're the first ones to do this, have scored 10 runs plus in three games in a row. That's pretty special.
And it's a good time to do it. The Mets have won four straight, 16 of 20. They remain tied with Arizona for the last two NL wild cards. Two games clear of Atlanta. The Diamondbacks were 5-1 winners in Milwaukee last night. The Braves blew out the Reds in Cincinnati in the afternoon. And the Astros snuck past the Angels 3-1, dropping their magic number for the AL West down to five games. Now to those Jets, a 24-3 romp over the Patriots at the Meadowlands on Thursday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers, 27-35, 281 yards and two scores. One of them to Garrett Wilson, who was asked if this offense is better than his first two seasons with the Jets.
Yeah, I ain't gonna fake it. I do. So, it's a great opportunity for me and the whole receiver group, everyone that's a skill position on offense to, have fun and to play the game we love and score points.
Defensively, the Patriots managed just 2.9 yards per play against the Jets. Drake May did debut in the final 4 minutes, one drive, four completions. He was sacked twice, raising the Jets' total for the night to 7.
Wait, can I tell you one of the great moments when Perloff and I looked at each other when we started doing the show and we were like, did he just say that? And it was when we were at the Super Bowl in Phoenix and Garrett Wilson came on the set and we were like, hey, there's some rumors that you guys might get Aaron Rodgers. And usually when you have a quarterback under contract, like Zach Wilson was the quarterback, generally guys are like, well, we believe in Zach or we believe in the guy who's here. And we'll kind of see. He's like, nah, I want to get Rodgers. I'd love to have him. Wait, what? He's like, it would be great. I grew up. I love Rodgers. Like, I hope we get him. And we're just like, clip that.
Yeah.
It was a good day.
The 49ers might just want to quit on this season. Already down Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel for multiple games. George Kittle didn't practice yesterday with a hamstring problem. Justin Herbert was back at Chargers practice yesterday, but not for the media portion of the workout, so not sure how he looked on that bad ankle. The Atlanta Dream clinched the last playoff spot on the last night of the WNBA regular season with a 78-67 win over the Liberty in Brooklyn. They'll play game one of round one there on Sunday. And the PGA of America confirmed yesterday that LIV golfers are eligible for the PGA Championship and the Ryder Cup, assuming they qualify under the normal provisions. Bryson DeChambeau currently third in points for next year's Ryder Cup. Guys, back to you.
So literally no consequences whatsoever of going to LIV.
Yeah, I guess.
Can't play regular season PGA Tour events.
A lot of tax dollars because they made so much money.
Well, sound like Boomer size.
No, I'm just saying it's funny to me. Like, I never cared. I'm sorry, this is going to sound, I probably should be more invested, but if it's not a major, I don't care who's playing the Hartford Open.
Well, we're not watching the live events either, so it's not like the audience.
Can you watch them?
I don't know.
Are they on a channel that's on my TV?
They were. There was one that was taking place that was like not too far from my house, and I was like, no shot. I'm not going to do this. If it had been a PGA Tour event, maybe do I take my kid?
That'd be fun.
Walk around the golf course a little, get a hot dog and leave or whatever. I'm not going to a live event, though. I mean, now they're kind of owned by the same thing, so it doesn't matter.
Right, but I thought they merged. What's happening there?
Not yet. They've agreed to the idea of some kind of merger, but they have not come anywhere close to having finalized details.
So concepts of a plan.
Have you guys seen the big golf story of this week, though?
Probably not.
That Rory McIlroy didn't recognize or know who Tom Holland was on the driving range. That thing has gone super viral. Have you guys not seen this?
No. Rory, my spirit animal. Thank you, sir.
Rory and Tom Holland, for some reason, it's a pro-am. Tom Holland is driving a beautiful swing, by the way. Tom Holland, the star of Spider-Man, is standing next to Rory. He goes, Rory, Tom Holland, nice to meet you. And Rory has no idea who he is, never seen him in his life. And thinks he's just a normal fan or a business guy. It's a wonderful moment for Maggie.
Maybe Rory's like me. Maybe he doesn't watch comic book movies.
No, so apparently he doesn't.
You're anti-Tom Holland specifically?
No, but I don't know. She doesn't know anything about him.
But he's Zendaya's boyfriend. That doesn't... No?
I mean, I watched her in Euphoria, but I haven't seen any of her other movies because I didn't see Dune.
You haven't seen Greatest Showman?
You didn't see the tennis movie?
That's where you go.
Tennis fan?
Bogus is a parent like me.
Greatest Showman.
It is a great movie.
Greatest Showman, that's a big deal to somebody who has kids.
Yeah, and I just figured Maggie would have seen that.
That is
true. No, I think you only see that if you have kids, baby. We might not have seen that if we didn't have kids.
I mean, I have a kid. He's just too young for that.
Yeah.
He's not for singing and dancing. It'll keep his attention.
Greatest Showman's a good one.
Yeah.
It's also funny to me because I feel like Tom Holland could play Rory McIlroy in a movie.
Maybe that's why he's there.
No.
That's a good point.
That's a great, like they're great short. Point.
Yeah, they're kind of the same size.
Yeah, they have an accent-ish, kind
of? No, I don't want to say, I guess, Rory's Irish, right? So I don't want to say same accent, because, of course, Tom's British. But still, like, he could probably do the accent. Like, if Rory's doing a biopic, Tom Holland's very high on that list.
Can you imagine how sad the Rory McIlroy biopic is? I mean, happy, too. He's had a lot of success, but, man, there's been some big meltdowns.
Yeah, it could be R-rated with the affair that divorce. Is well-documented. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. We said sad. That's what I thought first.
I'm going to defend
Left
Maggie
Caroline
here.
Wozniacki right before the wedding.
Yep.
I think Tom Holland barely exists outside of Spider-Man. I can totally understand. Like, that's his jam. I mean, can anyone name the other movies?
Uncharted.
Yeah, that's Uncharted with
Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. But everyone says, oh, wasn't he in a movie with Mark Wahlberg? No one remembers Uncharted.
That's about it.
Yeah, I'm with that. Maggie, you're good on this one.
I left this conversation 4 minutes ago. I don't have any idea what you guys are talking about. I've never even heard of Greatest Showman.
That's bad.
You've never heard of it?
That's impossible.
Ryan just pointed at me. That's
impossible. Really?
Maybe I have. Is Hugh Jackman in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I have not seen it.
I could actually, in the break, sing like half the song.
See, I can probably dance.
Let's go, guys. When we come back, Bogish and Perloff sing the...
You be Zendaya, I'll be Zac Efron.
Yeah. Wait, I get to be Zac Efron. That.
Fine.
With my one pack.
Don't move. When we come back, we all get entertained by the musical stylings of Andrew Bogish and Andrew Perloff. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Poll question up on X right now. Was yesterday the greatest day in the history of baseball? Shohei Ohtani, 3 home runs, 10 RBI, 2 stolen bases, clinched Major League Baseball's first ever 50-50 season, and also punched the Dodgers' ticket to the postseason. That doesn't really matter, but for Shohei, it matters. 75% say yes. Early returns are saying this is the greatest day in baseball history. That's a lot. Leland is on the line from California, wants to talk about a different team, the 49ers. Leland, are you in panic mode right now, dude?
A little bit, Maggie. Yeah, a little bit of panic mode because, you know, while I was listening to your broadcast this morning, I was thinking there are 6 starters from last year's team that aren't playing Sunday. 6 starters. On defense, there's Charvarius Ward. He's not going to play. Talanoa Funga. He probably won't play. And Drake Greenlaw. And then on the offensive side, we all know about Christian McCaffrey. But now, as the news said, it's George Kittle and Deebo Samuel. I have doubts that they're going to get it done. I'm not panicking, but, you know, I've got Derek Carr and Clint Kubiak to root for. You know, after their game against the Cowboys. So there's 49ers coaching staff around the league that are doing something else. But right here in San Francisco, I don't know.
Leland, but here's the thing, right? It's like the old joke about, you know, outrunning a bear. Do you have to be faster than the bear, or do you have to be faster than the person who you're with, who's also getting chased by the bear? You're playing the Rams this week. They're just as hurt as you. You know?
Yeah, they're hurt. But see, last week, the 49ers were heavily favored to beat the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold. What they did, they went into their house and lost.
Yeah. No, I know. Now you got Debo. No Debo. I get it, Leland. I understand a little bit of a panic mode, but wow. The Rams, you're still a touchdown favorite over this team. Like, the Rams are the real MASH unit here. I'm not trying to downplay the 49ers. The injuries are starting to stack up. If I were a fan of the team, I'd be alarmed as well. But you should be able to get by this Rams team.
Yeah, I just saw Schefter tweeted late last night the list of players who are not going to be there, both teams. So I guess the Rams line, it was supposed to get healthier, but now it's not sure that those guys are coming back too. I don't know who the Rams throw the ball to. If there's no Puka and then there's no Cup, it's such an opportunity for the Niners to get healthy. Also, is Bosa in and out of practice? I don't even know why. It feels like every single player on the Niners has some sort of injury. This is weird. This could be a weird game. Maybe McVay outcoaches Shanahan here. He's had his number in the past. Maybe something strange happens here.
So Bosa was limited on Thursday, but Hufanga was a full participant. I think he's going to play. I just don't know how many snaps.
Yeah, I believe that they're saying he's going to play. But, I mean, that guy hasn't played in a year. So what difference is, we don't know what he's going to be either.
Yeah, the update really is we already know McCaffrey's on IR, but Debo hurt, George Kittle hurt, Charvarius Ward hurt. So that's the latest. And the Rams, it's crazy. Let's go to Josh. He's our pal in Philadelphia. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. How are you, Ms. Gray?
We're good.
Hi, Mr. Perloff.
Yes.
My question was more for you. They were recapping recently, I think it was like the 10-year anniversary of the Matt Harvey interview on Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what you think of that, because you were there, and how both of you would handle if you have an interviewer that just doesn't seem to be doing what you want them to do.
Well, I think Maggie can weigh on this, too, because she's a Mets fan, and this was a big deal. I think it was funny enough, Josh, the 11-year anniversary for some reason.
Was it 11 years ago?
But
I remember it so clearly.
Yeah, it feels like it was yesterday, and DP, me, and the guys would... we laughed for about 8 straight years. It was there was no hard feelings about the whole thing at all. Like, the second it happened, Dan was kind of smiling. He's like, that is the worst interview I've ever had in my entire life. But not in a mean way. Does that make sense, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for Matt Harvey, because the Danettes were, at least the other day, they were really clowning on him. And I feel bad if he hears that. I just wonder how he can...
Oh, he came back on the next day.
Yeah.
And I think Matt Harvey is able to laugh at it with people now. I'm not sure, but I see what you're saying, Josh, but I think Matt Harvey's okay.
Well, Matt Harvey's now working commercial real estate in New York City, so he's pretty far away from all of this. But if for people who maybe don't remember, who weren't tuned in that day 11 years ago, wow, 11 years ago. So Matt Harvey comes on your former show, DP Show, and Dan starts asking him questions, and he keeps bringing everything back to Qualcomm.
Yeah, it's the sponsor. He was on representing Qualcomm, and Dan's like, how's your shoulder doing? Because he was injured. He's like, Dan, I'm really here just to honor. He said one line, I'm here to honor Qualcomm. And the funny thing,
Dan could have been like, so what do you think of this weather we're having? He's like, well, it's really about Qualcomm. Like, it was insane, like, how he just kept going back. It was comedic.
He didn't know. He thought he was there for the sponsor. It had to be only about the sponsor. The funny thing, too, is we've all vaguely heard of Qualcomm. There's a stadium, but nobody knows where Qualcomm actually is. That added to, like, he's like, if he was here to honor Pop-Tarts, that would have made a lot more sense. He's honoring Qualcomm? What? Qualcomm is some sort of computer company? Do you know what they do?
I have no idea. I really only know them because of the Matt Harvey interview.
Yeah, they had the stadium in San Diego was Qualcomm.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Was yesterday, Shohei Ohtani, was that the greatest day in the history of baseball?
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.